Hello, Metro Augusta. Hello, Georgia, and hello, wherever you are. This is Janice Allen Jackson welcoming you to the March 6th edition of Local Matters, a show designed to make you a more confident voter and a more engaged citizen. As always, today's show is brought to you as a service of my consulting firm, and that is Janice Allen Jackson and Associates, where we provide services to local government and nonprofit organizations. If you haven't already and you're on the Facebook platform, please follow the Local Matters Podcast of Georgia on Facebook. And of course, we also ask you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. When you follow and subscribe, you get notifications of when we drop new episodes and when we provide other information. And that, of course, also lets us know that you support our efforts. Today, my guest is Ms. Monique Williams. You know her as a local TV anchor here in the Augusta area. But today, we're going to discuss something that she has done more recently. And that is, she's put together an anthology that she's going to discuss with us. The name of it is Morning Joy. You know, I always enjoy our author talk episodes, and this is going to be one fabulous author talk episode. A couple of things I want to bring to your attention. First, I will have the opportunity to present for Women's History Month for the League of Women Voters. That takes place on March 18th. I've been asked to talk some about my perspective as a woman who's been in a leadership role, as well as some of the civic engagement and civic education activities that I've been involved in. Also want to let you know that on the following Saturday, which is March 23rd, I will be speaking along with Helen Butler from the People's Agenda. We're going to have a discussion as soon as we get those flyers ready. I will be putting those on our Facebook page so that you can keep up with that information and hopefully come out to attend. Last thing that I want you to make note of, and this is something that I really want you to connect the dots on, this week, March 4th through 8th, is qualifying week in Georgia for people who are seeking to run for local and state offices. This year, there are a ton of things on the ballot, as there are in even numbered years. That's when we really have lots of things to consider and make voting decisions regarding. Here in the Augusta area, it is particularly critical because half of the Augusta's commission seats are up, those odd numbered districts, 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. The sheriff's race is on the ballot, the marshal's race, the district attorney, as well as some judicial races. So, as usual, Local Matters will be bringing you candidates for those contested seats because we want you to stay informed and we need you to stay with us and tell as many people as you know how important it is that they become informed about the issues and the candidates. You will note that last year, because we didn't have a lot on the ballot, we spent that time talking about issues, you know, everything from mental health to environmental issues, to the prison system, foster care, homelessness. We got into all of those things from last year up until this point. So if you need to get familiar with what some of those issues are, please go back and review those episodes so that you're prepared to ask the right questions of the folks who are running for office. Again, thanks so much for being a part of the Local Matters family. Local Matters family, today we are pleased to have with us none other than Ms. Monique Williams. She is a journalist and she's been in the Augusta area for the last several years. She's going to talk to us about what's going on now and some special projects that she's embarked upon. How are you doing today, Monique?
I'm doing great, Janice. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be able to talk to you today.
I am so glad that we were able to schedule this. As you know, from having listened to some past episodes of Local Matters, we really take advantage of this platform to educate people. Most of our shows are about local or state government related issues, community issues. But every now and then we have an author on, and today you're going to be with us as an author, as part of our author talk series.
Thank you so much. Just to even hear that is, I mean, it's just, I'm just thrilled because I really didn't see myself in this realm of authorship, but here I am, and I'm very grateful.
You never know where the Lord's going to take you, right?
Yes,
You
yeah.
just never know. All right. We always start off by asking our guests to tell the audience a little bit about themselves. I think it helps our listeners connect with you. So, who is Monique Williams? We know who we've seen on TV cameras, but tell us who you really are.
Wow. I think at my core, again, thank you so much for this opportunity. I think at my core, Janice, I am a compassionate truth teller. And whatever form that becomes, that's what it becomes. In whatever stage or phase I am in my life, whatever position I may be holding at the time, in whatever capacity in which I may be serving, I always end up being a truth teller with compassion. I am a small town country girl with big city girl tendencies, currently a divorced mom of two young adult children who are in college and they have flown the nest and they are trying to find themselves and certainly trying to fulfill God's purpose for their lives. And while they are doing that, I too am doing that in this second phase of my life being an empty nester. And I am just really very intentional about what it is I can be doing to not only help educate, as you do here on Local Matters, but also enlighten and empower.
Okay, awesome. You mentioned being from a small town. Where are you from?
I am from the booming metropolis of Eatonton, Georgia, Putnam County.
So you and Alice Walker have
That
that
is
in common.
correct. That
Okay.
is correct. And I'm glad you mentioned that because when you go into Eatonton, there's a sign that says, "Welcome to Eatonton, home of Joel Chandler Harris, who is the author of the Brer Rabbit Tales, Uncle Remus, and also Alice Walker." And a bit of a personal joy that I love to talk about with people, Alice. I actually used to babysit my older brothers. And the other connection that I have with her is that Alice's late sister, Ruth, was once married to my uncle.
Oh, okay. So you really connected to
I
Alice.
am really connected. Now, how does that translate to me having a, a regular phone conversation and meeting her for tea every Sunday? No. But I am very grateful to say, not only is she from my hometown, but we share family ties and certainly a love of writing.
Okay, cool beans. I know about Eatonton because I used to drive through there on a regular basis when I was living and working in Albany, Georgia. I drove through Eatonton on my way to Augusta. So
Okay.
Highway 44, Highway 129,
That's right.
there on a pretty regular basis. Now, of course, the Fall Line Freeway has been developed, so I normally take that, which doesn't take me through the town. But yeah, I've stopped and eaten at McDonald's a couple times in Eatonton, Georgia.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's probably
So,
about the only one of the re only restaurants you I mean, a
yeah.
few more. But yeah, that's one of the joys I think of being in a small town. I was just there recently visiting my father. My mother, of course, has passed away, and I'm sure we'll talk about the book here momentarily. But I try to go back to make sure I still talk to my dad, and my brothers are still there. A lot of my family is still there, and it's just still that at home, welcoming country feel that I love so much.
And so you grew up in Eatonton. You graduated from high school there as well.
I did Putnam County High School, class of 1991.
And I've
Wow, I just told everybody my age.
driven past Putnam County High School too a few times. It's one of the
Yes.
landmarks.
Yes.
So where did you go to college?
So I went to the Georgia Southern University. in Statesboro, Georgia. Got there in the fall of 1991, graduated in the fall of 1995 with my Bachelor of Science degree in what was then Communication Arts with an emphasis in broadcast journalism. And my love for writing and all things words and English really was birthed, I would say, in the 11th grade of high school. My high school English teacher, God rest her soul, Mrs. Isabel Davis, I'll never forget her. She just was so complimentary on my writing skills. And she asked me, had I ever thought about being a journalist? And at the time, I didn't know what that was. I mean, I get what a journal is to write, you know, in a tablet, as you and I know, to be an actual physical tablet with paper, not the electronic tablets that everybody uses now. But she said that you're a very great writer. You seem to really have a love for words and English and spell. I used to love to do the spelling tests, all of those kinds of things. And I've always been a talker. So she kind of planted that seed early about me being able to write really well. And then my 12th grade year, my English teacher asked me, had I thought about journalism also, because she said that I was a great public speaker. And I said, okay, well, there must be something to this. So I probably need to kind of figure out what this really means. And then, you know, from a personal perspective, being at home, you know, I grew up watching local women on television, Black women who've been very influential. The late great Tina Hicks, who was the main anchor at, oh my gosh, Straight from the Heart, Channel 13, WMAZ in Macon, Georgia. And then, of course, the one and only Monica Kaufman Pearson out of Atlanta, who is still in the business to this day. And I met her a few years ago at the Southeastern Regional Emmys, where I was nominated for a story I had done when I was in television news, and completely fangirled out when I met her and got a chance to give her her flowers and tell her how watching her on TV really inspired me. Because I used to always think, can they see me? I just feel like they can actually see me. But I felt like to be able to talk to people and tell people what was happening in the world in a way that would educate, enlighten, and empower them, I just thought was just super, super amazing. It looked really fun and interesting. And so my path started going in that direction, and I have not looked back.
Awesome. It's an awesome story of inspiration. You saw some role models and thought you could do that as well. So you go to Georgia Southern, major in communications. Did you go straight into TV journalism, or did you also do some print journalism as well?
I went straight into broadcast journalism. And when I first talked to my 11th grade English teacher about journalism as a career, I initially thought that I would be writing. And then as I got to the 12th grade, I realized, oh, there's print journalism and then there's broadcast journalism. So I said, how can I do two things that I love, writing and talking, and combine those? And so my path led me to broadcast journalism, had an amazing internship at the local ABC affiliate in Savannah, Georgia, WJCL, and was sandwiched between an amazing female Black anchor woman and an amazing female news reporter, Black woman. And they just sandwiched me and took great care of me and made sure I had developed what we called back then a resume tape. And that, you know, of course, samples of your work. As you are a graduating senior, because in college, you know, we had to complete an internship at a local media entity. And so grateful for Mashonda, then Anthony, and Vanessa at the time, who just really took me by the hand and made sure that I had my resume tape completed and finished. So upon graduation, I had something to then mail out to local stations. And Janice, it was 4 months, just 4 months. This is, and you got to remember now, this was in the mid 1990s. And to get a job on air your first time out the gate after graduating college was not happening back then. So I was so grateful. And but it was because they helped me. They said, hey, this girl has got something, so let's nurture that and let's really put her in a great position to position herself to start her career. And so I graduated in August of 95, and I was working 4 months later, my first on-air job in Macon, Georgia, not at WMAZ, but it was at WGXA TV. Then it was Fox 24.
Okay, awesome, awesome. And a few years ago, you landed in Augusta, Georgia. I can't remember how long has it been now, because I lose track of time, particularly
I
with the
know,
I
I
lose
do
track of
too.
time. So, when did you arrive in Augusta?
So I have been in Augusta now. This April, I believe, will be 7 years. 7 years. And it's interesting how I got here. And I love how this conversation really is going to take us to, straight to the book, because I had gone through a period of joblessness. I was out of work for some time. I had gone through a period of divorce. And then I went through a period of losing my mom. So it was like boom, 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 experiencing a huge amount of loss. And I was lost, not really understanding what was happening to me at this point. One of my friends even asked me, she says, what is this with this Job season in your life? I said, I don't know. Can you ask God to tell me what is with this? This season of Job, in your life, it was like I was just losing everything. But what I realized is I was going to have to care for my mom, who had been diagnosed for the second time with cancer. She had beat it the first time. It came back some years later with a vengeance. And I realized now, Janice, that I would not have been able to really care for my mom the way that I did had I been employed. So God always knows what he's doing. We don't. And so that is the purpose of our faith. And it happened. Mom was diagnosed in October of 2015. She passed away November 30th of 2015. We buried her December 6th of 2016. And I was in Augusta, Georgia. I'm working on air in April of 2016. So I really feel like I had completed the assignment that God had for me, which was to care for my mom. And then he opened up the door for me to get back into my career field. And this wasn't the first time that I had left TV News. I also left TV News years ago when I started a family. I'd gotten married. So God has been very gracious to me and allowing me to kind of start and stop on this journey along the way. And a lot of times you get out of the business, you can't get back in. So I've been very, very fortunate to raise a family, go through all of these trials and triumphs, and still be a part of a career in an industry that I still love so much. So a series of events landed me here in the Garden City.
Okay, got it. And that's how life works. You use the expression as we were getting prepared for this. Life is lifing at times, and we just kind of never know what twists and turns life will take. And you mentioned God and your faith. I think there's something you may want to share with folks that probably don't know this about you either. Tell us a little bit about your ministry.
Yes, so I am a licensed minister. And I have been a licensed minister for over 25 years. You're right, not a lot of people know that. I'm twice licensed minister. I was licensed in 2001 when I lived and worked in Charlotte, North Carolina, under Bishop Claude Richard Alexander Jr. of what is now the Park Ministries, formerly University Park Baptist Church. He is my father in ministry. Love him dearly to this day. And then years go by, and like you said, life began to life, and marriage, divorce, children, stay-at-home mom, all kinds of things. And I end up here, and you know this, Janice, As you are joining different ministries, different churches, a lot of times if you are already in some form of ministry, they want you to become a part of their local body as well. And so every church that I've been a part of, I've always been able to serve as a licensed minister. And I went through an additional licensing process here in Augusta, Georgia, at the historic Tabernacle Baptist Church under the direction of the Reverend Dr. Charles E. Goodman Jr. So that second license was only really about probably about 4 years ago. So haven't gone through the ordination process, haven't been to seminary, although my initial licensing process I felt like was seminary without saying it was seminary. It was quite grueling, a year long or so process. And so I don't know where God is going to take me in terms of that. Maybe that is something that I will be pursuing. So I'm just always listening to see what my next step is supposed to be.
Okay. All right, great. I just wanted to put that out there because there's something that people probably don't know about you. As we talk about what you're doing now, what is going on with Monique Williams now?
Wow, it's always some form of ministry. It really is. And even in the local body, doing couples ministry, women's ministry. And what has happened is, like you were talking about time flying. I looked up one day and my mom had already been gone for 7 years. And I just remember some very precious moments with her. As she lay dying, just asking her all kinds of questions. It's like I literally saw this, the granules of an hourglass. The little was just going down, and I was like, I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time. So I started asking her all of these questions, and she said, "You sure are asking me a lot of questions." And I said, "Yeah, well, I guess I am, Mom." And in her southern dialect, she said, "You must be gonna write a book." And I said yes before I even realized it. And I said, "Well, yeah, Mom, I guess I am." And I didn't know at the time what that would mean, what that would look like. And this was again several years ago. And so she passed away, and then I began working, as I had mentioned before, back in my career field. So my life took a different path, but I never forgot this promise that I made to my mom. And I woke up one day and 7 years had passed, and seven being this number, this significant number of completion, and going into this eighth year, eight being the number of new beginnings. I just really felt like God was saying to me, "Okay, you've had 7 years to complete this time of procrastination and this time of putting this off and this time of putting everything before what you promised your mom you would do. Now, going into this eighth year, this is a new beginning, and you must complete this. You must." So I was like, "Okay, God, okay. I have to do this, but how? What does that look like?" I knew that I was supposed to write a book, but I didn't know what that would become. And I just heard it so very clearly as you and I were talking before we began the recording. It's like, you're a journalist. Tell people stories. That's what you do. And so that's how this idea of an anthology came about.
It's wonderful. So the title of the book is, I don't know if people can see that, probably can't see it too well. We'll make this part of our cover art for this show, part of the thumbnail. But the book is Life Lessons from My Late Mother's Morning Joy, Monique Williams, with contributions by several others. So did you write your piece first and then you invited other people to come in? Just help us with the process of pulling all of this together.
Yeah, so when you say the word anthology, a lot of times people are like, "Oh, well, what is that?" And I always use the example of, you remember several years ago, this very popular book, it's an anthology called Chicken Soup for the Soul, came out years ago. And so that was kind of like what I feel was a national introduction to this whole concept of what it means to write an anthology. It was several letters around the same topic written by different people. And so That is really how Morning Joy came about, as well, Life Lessons from Our Late Mothers. I began to see so many of my friends, associates, women that I knew, loved, and trusted, respected, admired, they were losing their moms. And I don't know if it's an age thing. Of course, I think as you get older, and you know, a lot of times your parents begin to pass away. And everybody was just lamenting about the loss of their moms on social media. And it seems like every time I saw it, I just felt this huge burden. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm reliving this, right? With every woman who I would see would post this. And so I just kind of really put out a clarion call. I prayed about it and I said, Lord, show me the women who are supposed to be a part of this project now. And I began to think about connections that I had with various women over the years, and some of whom had already shared with me about their motherless daughter experience. And I just began to humbly ask, hey, I feel like God is saying for me to do this. I would be honored if you would be a part of it. So we had a lot of women to say, yes, that's a great idea. I'd love to. But then what we realized is, as women began to sit down and sit with their feelings and kind of remember and recollect, it began to be very hard for a lot of them to put pen to paper, what their thoughts and feelings were. And so a lot of women weren't able to complete the journey that first time around. And so I had this idea of a number of women that I wanted. And then that number kept dwindling, and I began to get a little discouraged. But then I just said, you know what? However many stories this ends up being, that's what it's going to be. So it ended up being 10 women plus myself, which is 11. And as I was sharing with you earlier, it's not even a long book. It's less than 100 pages, but it is power packed with stories I believe will change the lives of women and their and all of those who love them. Because I've been telling people, if your mom is still alive, that's wonderful. Maybe the book is not for you right now, but maybe at some point you will need it. Or maybe right now it's for somebody you know who's lost their mom, or your mom who's lost her mom. There's one friend of mine who he grew up with sisters in the house, so he bought four books for his sisters after they had all lost their mom. One of my sorority sisters, of Sigma Gamma Rho sorority, Incorporated, she bought books from me as well for her aunts, because they had lost their mom, which is her grandmother. And she did this wonderful thing for Christmas, and she did these care packages where she included the book and like popcorn and a gift certificate to like Starbucks and those kinds of things that would just kind of bring you calm and peace, and put my book in there. And I texted her the other day and I said, how are your aunts enjoying the book? She's like, oh, they love it. It's really great. So I said all of that to say I extended the invitation, and those who were able to complete the assignment did so. And it's just full of joy and laughter and sorrow and pain, sunshine, rain, everything. Because what I had to realize, Janice, this was a huge like aha moment for me. Not everybody had a great relationship with their mom.
That's true too.
I had a wonderful relationship with my mom. I mean, a wonderful relationship. That's not everybody's testimony.
It's true.
And I was at first conflicted about that. I said, well, I want this book to be, happy, and but life is not always happy. So being a journalist, I just deal with the truth, whatever that truth is. And so we have women in here who have shared, no, I didn't have a great relationship with my mom. I don't want to give too much of the book away, but the first chapter is called Hate to Love. And first words in this first chapter is, I hated my mother. And so what does that look like, right? How can something like that be a blessing? Well, turns out this particular co-contributor doesn't want other women to have this relationship with their mom. If there's anything she can teach them, it's to don't wait as long as I did, because while I did eventually reconcile with my mom before she died, it was a very short period of time. So she said, Monique, if I can just help somebody, repair that broken relationship before their mother transitions, then I need to tell my side. And then there's another contributor who is, she told me, she says, Monique, I'm not going to focus on how my mom left. I'm going to focus on how my mom lived. Isn't that wonderful?
Beautiful.
I love that. I said I wasn't gonna cry with you today, Janice. But it's in here, something is in here for everybody who's experienced any kind of relationship with their mom. There's another co-contributor who talked about how fearless her mom was, even though she grew up in a very healthy and happy two-parent home. My parents were married for 56 years before my mom took her last breath in my arms. But this co-contributor talked about how even though her mom and dad were together and they had this lovely home and happy life, her dad was a very busy businessman. And so a lot of times her mom would take the kids on these excursions, just mom and the kids. And what strength her mom exhibited during those times to be able to do that. So there's really just something for everybody, old, young, black, white. We've got a mixture of everything. So grateful that these women trusted me enough to share these stories.
So it sounds like a diverse set of experiences that are represented in the book from a diverse group of people.
Correct.
Did you edit theirs? It's like they submitted to you and you edited what they put together, or was there another editor that you work with? How did you make that happen?
Great question. So I went through a self-publishing process that's available through Amazon. And I did have a book coach. And shout out to the wonderful Wendy Perry. Those in this community know and love her. She's known, she and her husband, Dr. Michael Perry, have a thriving couples ministry, and they help couples and businesses all over the world and all over the nation, and certainly right here locally. And she literally, Wendy, took me by my hand because she's a self-published author. She had done this before. And that was the challenge, Janice. Over the years, I would start and kind of stop, but I never really had somebody who said, okay, I'm going to stick with you through this process because it's obvious you don't know what you're doing. But I know that this is going to really help people. So let me help you help people. And she literally stood, through the process, I said, oh my gosh, this is getting hard. There were some days where I was like, I can't do this. I can't finish it. So to answer your question, yes, I took on a lot of it myself. I got the submissions. I edited them. I had somebody else look at them while Wendy coached me through the process of how to actually enter my information into this software, what this looks like, what cover do we choose, all of those things. And but the software itself through Amazon actually does the brunt of the work for you. Of course, with every sale, Amazon gets a percentage of that. But I felt like, and this is the main reason I chose to self-publish, I felt like with this precious cargo, I had to drive the narrative instead of going through a publishing company, because I knew that they would probably get their hands on this and then start saying, oh, this needs to change and you need to reconsider this and da 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 da. I mean, I know how that goes. It's very much like that in TV news as well. So I knew in order to protect the integrity of these women's testimonies, their stories, their life lessons, I had to control that part of it. And so that's the joy in self-publishing. But when you self-publish, it is all on self.
Yeah. It's
So,
your product. Sounds like the upside is it really is reflective of you and the other contributing authors. It's what you want it to be, but you're right. You got the whole burden of promoting it and all of that. And when did the book come out? And, walk us through some of the promotional efforts and things that you've been doing. And of course, tell us how they can purchase the book.
okay. So it hasn't been out quite a year yet. We went live on Amazon. My dates are running together. I believe last September, maybe August. I do remember I was on a time frame. It was August because I wanted to. We launched kind of a preview that we were going to be doing this around Mother's Day last year. then we were able to complete it by mom's birth month, which was August. So we went live in August, around August, September, and did this really big push for Christmas. And so now I really am gearing back up again now for Mother's Day. I just think this would be an amazing blessing for women to really have this in their arsenal of self-help and self-healing, whatever women who have gone through this motherless daughters, do to kind of stay afloat mentally, spiritually, emotionally. I think this would be a great addition. And the book is available on Amazon. If you type in Morning Joy, and morning, if you notice, is MourningIng to symbolize morning joy, because what I've realized through this is that joy does come in the morning. We know it comes in the morning biblically, and we know it comes in the morning through this anthology. So it's on Amazon. If you type in morning joy, type in my name, Monique Williams, it should pop right up. It is $19.99, and you can order it straight from Amazon. Even if you go to morningjoythebook.com, which is kind of my individual website, but it still takes you directly to amazon.com to order the book. And I still keep some on hand with me. What I have learned is that I need to just have some because I never know when I'm going to meet someone. This literally happened to me in the grocery store about a month and a half ago. A young lady came up to me and recognized me from the local news. And, she said, "Oh my gosh, I miss you. Oh, my coworkers and I used to watch you every day at noon. What are you doing now?" And we got to talking about it. And of course, I talked about my book. And she said, "Oh my gosh, my friend just went through this like a couple of weeks ago. She lost her mom." And I said, "Oh, I would love to be a blessing and have you give her this book." And she says, "You have some with you?" Yep. We literally walked out to my car and she cash apped me, and I was able to autograph it and get that to her so she could give it to her friend. So all of it is a learning process because I wasn't really taking books out with me. I didn't really have a lot of books on hand, but I've realized I need to keep some.
You need to keep some in the trunk of the vehicle at all times, because you never know when you run into somebody who wants to purchase a copy. It's interesting. You talked about the often complicated relationships between mothers and daughters. My mother died 10 years ago, October of 2023, and were a lot of things about myself that I just asked God for revelation about. And I was able to connect some of what I perceived to be the negative experiences in life to not just my mother, my grandmother, and be able to come full circle with an understanding sort of where I got to. So I think as you shed a couple of tears and you talked about one of the other co-authors in her story, it really reminds me that life is not that simple. It's just not that simple. I remember thinking after asking God for a period of revelation that took place over a few days. And actually, now these are things I won't make it seem like it was that quick. These were things I had been thinking about for probably a couple decades, but it really just started coming together for me over that period of a few days. There was 3, 4, 5 days in there. And I concluded this that my grandmother, who I never met, but she was a tremendous influence on my mother and, of course, the rest of her siblings. My grandmother was probably smarter. My mother was more strategic. And I think that my mother made some decisions, knowing her as well as I know her, she made some decisions probably the week or two after I was born about what she would like to see. And she set herself up and me up to be, the
Yes.
person that she wanted me to be. And I'm sure that she started thinking about that as soon as her body healed after giving birth. She started thinking about those things. So that's just who she was. And in that way, she was very strategic. So I know that if I put pen to paper, just as these people have, you and the rest of the authors have done, my story would probably come out being a little complicated too. It would be love because I loved her to death, but I also have to accept some realities of what she was dealing with based upon her own
Yes.
childhood experiences.
Yes. I had
And
to do that too. You asked me, did my story come first? So to answer that question, my story is last, purposefully, because the story was not necessarily about me, but about these women who, again, trusted me. Ruthie Eden Garcia, Rose Ling, Tawana Chamberlain, Cynthia Pryor Hardy, Jennifer Williams, Trey Taylor, Carrie Ann Taylor, Adrian Davis, Christy Bell Jenkins, and Erica Stockstill. Similarly to your story, even though I had a great relationship with my mom, it was not without life. And I talk about that in the book. And it became very hard. I can't tell you how many times I typed it, then hit delete, 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 delete. Oh, no, I don't. No, that's a little too truthful. No, that's a little too real. But I had to realize I'm just a truth teller with compassion. And I believe in being real, raw, and relevant. And I just don't think you can get true healing if you're not going in that direction. So I had to share some things about my mom that I wouldn't necessarily on the surface want anybody to know.
That's the other
But
thing. And her mother was very private. Was your mother a very private person too?
yes,
Okay. So you're like, am I betraying her memory by telling too much? You went through that thought process as well.
that
Okay.
was part of it. I was like, oh, I remember going back and forth with Wendy. I was like, I'm not gonna put that in there. I'm not gonna put that in there. Then you have to really stop and ask yourself, okay, so really, what's the purpose of this? Is this really about you, or is it about helping somebody else? And right, that's always the tension we have to ask ourselves. Well, yeah, I know I said I wanted to help people, but I can help them some other way. I don't have to tell them all of that. But yes, there was a lot of that, and I just thought to myself, okay, this is going to help somebody.
Yeah. And
This
you
is
know,
going to
that's an
help somebody.
interesting point you bring up. I'll tell you, you know how Oprah used to have these really revealing shows. One day I was sitting in the kitchen with my mother and father, and we're watching Oprah. And she was talking about, some of the more traumatic things that had happened in her own life. And my parents asked each other, well, why is she telling everybody about this? And I said, well, I think she's telling us because she wants to help other people. And they were just like, huh? That And I know that if I start writing this, I would just be sitting there thinking, gosh, is God gonna get me for this? Is my mother up in heaven telling God to get me if I reveal some of this? But you really do have to. I think we have an obligation to share some things if we think that others can gain greater insight and build better relationships based upon our experiences. I really think it's a God thing for us to share in that
God
way.
thing. It's a God thing. It has to be, 'cause right? You don't want to spill the beans like that. You don't want to, like, for what? What purpose? And then you think, oh, well, it could really, really help somebody else. And I just encouraged all of the co-contributors, be as honest. Listen, just tell it like it is. And if your testimony is, my mom lived, and so that's what I'm going to focus on, then great, because somebody else needs to see what they need to do to get to that point. So how did you and your mother get to that point where you focused on life and living instead of, your mom leaving? That's a gifting. That listen, there's got to be some serious conversations with God to get to that point. So then help the next woman who maybe is not there yet. And I'm not saying this is a cure-all, right? Healing, we know, is very layered. So sometimes it's somebody coming and planting a seed, and then somebody else comes and waters, right? And then so then the increase eventually comes. So I just want this to be a seed, and to get women on a path to healing.
As you've done this, it seems as though you really enjoyed, and your co-authors really enjoyed pulling this together. Is this something you could see yourself doing again?
I laugh because, again, talking with Wendy, my book coach, Wendy Perry, love you, Wendy. She was saying something, and she says, "Yeah, and so for your next one," I said, "Next one, I'm not doing this again. These sleepless nights and these tears, I'm not doing this." I'm like, she's like, yeah, you are. I'm like, I'm not. I'm not. But as I talk to more women, you and I were discussing this before we began recording, and other women who didn't complete this first go round, they said, ask me again. So that's a word right there. Try again. So I'm in prayer about it. Because hey, there's so many women go through this every day.
Right. It's so many, and there's
Oh,
so many stories, and there's
so
so
many
many new
stories.
stories.
So I could see another one. I could see this becoming a volume of sorts. Yeah, I could see that. So I would definitely be in prayer about it. But I will say, the self-publishing process won't be as difficult for me this time. It was extremely difficult first time because I didn't know what I was doing. I could probably get through this without completely and totally harassing my book coach all the time.
All right. If you sign up, if you decide to do it again, hey, call me. I think I'd love to sign up despite the threat of,
Your
picking
mom visiting you in the middle of the night. Yes.
me down or something. Because yeah, there's just complicated dynamics and relationships, and I connect that with what you said at the very beginning of the conversation about being a truth teller.
Yes.
Life is
One
messy.
Janice Allen
Life
Jackson is that? Yes.
is messy. Life is complicated. But you want to, we only deal with our complications and our messiness, I think, to the extent that we can be honest about them.
Correct.
And that's a wonderful thing with your book. We got a few minutes left. Is there anything else you want to share with our Local Matters family?
Oh, again, thank you so much. And thank you again to your listeners who tune in to hear what you bring to the community. I just want to get this in the hands of women who really want to experience some healing. It's a very difficult process. And I just want to help get this in as many hands as possible. So again, it's on Amazon.com. It's only $19.99. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it will be at some point. Maybe be a blessing to someone else. Maybe this Mother's Day, the focus needs to be on everything motherly. And that may not necessarily include you, but it may include some other people, or it may include your mom's mom. I just think it needs to be in as many hands as possible so we can help change the narrative, right, of what it means to be a motherless daughter. I certainly, if my daughter sits down one day to pen something about me, I want it to be a balm. I want it to be something that's going to help restore and reconcile and rejuvenate and build up instead of continuing to stay in the mire and in the muck of what grief can sometimes be. Grief is so many things. It comes out when we least expect it. Grief is anger. I talk about that. Grief is regret. So many stories about that. Grief is love. Grief is happiness. Grief is a lot of tears. Grief is necessary. It's necessary. If you live on this earth, you're going to experience it in one way or another. So I think this can be a step in the right direction to actually achieve some joy in the morning.
Awesome. Tell us about your social media pages so people can connect with you there.
Yes, please connect with me, Monique Williams TV on Facebook. Send me a give me a like, a follow, a share. Shoot me a DM, let me know you saw this, and let's get some books out to some people. Also, I am on Instagram, all lowercase. It's the THE underscore Monique Williams, the Mon underscore Monique Williams. And really just pushing Facebook and Instagram right now. Haven't started a social media, I mean, a YouTube channel. I've been saying that I should do that, but we'll see what God has in store. But I think certainly social media is important in this life and time in these days. And so I'm doing my best to manage that platform as best as I can.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Thank you so much. You are now officially a part of the Local Matters family. And we're just so happy to have you on to talk about this great work, and hopefully others will take advantage. I'm so excited. I've got my autographed copy. Morning Joy, very excited to read that. And thanks again. I know we will be talking again soon.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Janice.
I hope you enjoyed that discussion with Monique Williams. Please join Local Matters next week when we will be reviewing the candidates who have qualified to run for office here in the Augusta area. I close with my favorite Bible verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This show is designed to contribute to each of those, giving you the power that comes with knowledge, demonstrating love for your local community, and offering you wisdom for decision making so that you possess a sound mind when it comes to these topics. Please tune in next Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. or Thursday at 7 p.m. here on 103.7 FM or 1600 AM. Or please go to SoundCloud, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts at any time, because local matters.